Hey friends, I'm Brian Dwyer and you're listening to the Sermon Link podcast from Pursue God. Today's message was originally recorded at Alpine Church in Utah. We've adapted this sermon into a series designed for a deeper conversation with your family, your small group, or your mentor. You can find the full series and resources at pursuegod.org.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Pastor Brian. If we haven't met, I'd love to meet you. Turn with me to the book of James. Maybe you have your Bible apps. We're going to eventually get to James. We're going to kind of be in chapter 1 and chapter 3. James is a New Testament book of the Bible. James was the little brother of Jesus who became a follower of Jesus after Jesus' resurrection. And so he wrote this book of the Bible. We're spending 10 weeks on these five chapters this summer. We're at week 7 today. And today's message is really good. I think there's something here for all of us today. Last week, we talked about friendship with the world and what it meant according to the book of James. We focused last week on the things that you do and that James was basically calling the Jewish Christians to whom he was writing. He was calling them not to be friends with the world, but instead to be committed to God. And we talked, when I preached this message last week, I talked about what does this mean, friendship with the world? And for a lot of people, they think, okay, friendship with the world, to be worldly, is the way sometimes Christians say it, to be worldly, means to do this really bad stuff. So we tend to like have a bad list, a sin list that is high grade sins, and then we have a sin list that's low grade sins. And last week we saw that actually the Bible doesn't do it like that. The Bible sticks it all together. So it puts like gossip in the same list with murder. It puts quarreling in the same list with homosexuality. So all of these things, God's word says, all of these things are what it means to be worldly. And so last week we were really challenged not to be friends with the world. And so we talked about what you do. And today we're going to actually back up. Because if last week was about what you do, this week is going to be about how you think. Because the truth is, here's the first thing you need to know. Bad acting, what you do, starts with bad thinking. Bad acting doesn't just doing bad stuff, whether it's the high-grade stuff or the low-grade stuff. Doing bad stuff doesn't just come out of nowhere. It doesn't just sneak up on you. It's not random. Almost always starts with thinking wrong about the world. Long before you do high grade or low grade sinning, you start thinking about the world the wrong way. Now, it's worse than ever before. I think today it's worse than ever before. Because remember, we're reading the book of James. We're studying the book of James, which was written 2,000 years ago. And 2,000 years ago, nobody owned a book. Very few people had iPhones 2,000 years ago. Like, there was such a lack of ideas in the world. It's hard for us to even understand this. We're all products of our own world. We just know what we know. We know what we grew up with. Even people my age, it's crazy how much life has changed for people my age. I'm over 30 years old. And so for people my age, like, we're like, man, I tell young people all the time, like, I grew up before, not only before, like, these cell phones, but which young people always make fun of me for calling them cell phones. My daughter's like, Dad, they're called phones. That's all we have. These are the phones now, right? So for all you old people out there, they're just phones anymore. Anyway, I still call them cell phones just to make the young people mad, but I remember when we had, what do we call them? Landlines. We used to just call them phones too, all right, everybody? And you had one per family, and if your girlfriend called you, everybody knew it, because you had the longest cord you possibly could, and hopefully you could step into the bathroom or something and have a private phone conversation. That's the world that I grew up in, right? Pre-internet world, and many of us, we grew up in this world, but 2,000 years ago when James wrote this stuff, nobody had phones, nobody had internet, nobody had books. I want you to think about this for a second. The idea of families having a library, a personal library, That was something of royalty for thousands of years, or institutions. Do you know that the average family didn't have a Bible in their home till the mid to late 1800s? That's craziness. I mean, I actually thought the answer would be, you know, 1600, something like that. 1500, mid 1400s when the printing press was invented, and then that changed everything when people had Bibles in their hands, but they still didn't actually have their own personal Bible. It wasn't until Bibles were mass produced in the 1800s that actually Bibles were in the hands of everyday people. And so think about this. It's not just Bibles, any kind of book, any kind of idea. And so we live in a world where ideas are so prevalent. There are so many ideas out there. And so I think this message today, like what James is talking about here in the text we're about ready to get to, is so important for us to really pay attention to, but to pay attention to it in the context of world history. We live in a world where ideas are all around us. And so it's more important than ever before to learn how to think. It's more important than ever before to learn how to think right. Don't just take in the first thing that somebody says. Don't just listen to something that rings true to you, to your modern sensibilities. We really have to learn how to think right. That's what we're going to talk about. Last week, how to act right. This week, how to think right. Because how to think right impacts acting right. So there's so many ideas out there that are just not biblical, but you might think that they are. Now, before we get to James, I want to see what Paul had to say about this. Romans 12. Verse 2, the first part of it. He says this. I love this verse. Kind of our theme verse for the day. I don't know if you've noticed, but we've seen a lot of Paul's writings intermixed with James, because I wanted to make sure that throughout this series, everybody knows that James and Paul were inspired by the same Holy Spirit. James and Paul were writing the same kinds of things, because a few weeks back, we mentioned that some people question that, because James talks an awful lot about works. And Paul talks an awful lot about faith, but they're both actually saying the same thing. And that's why we call this whole series Faith That Works. If you're a follower of Jesus, your faith should work. It shouldn't just be faith. It should also include how you act and how you think. So anyway, Paul says this in Romans 12, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Let God transform you. Let God transform you into a new person. And the way he's going to do it, this is one of the keys to life transformation. The way that God transforms, one of the ways that God transforms us. If you're here today and you're like, I want to be a follower of Jesus. Like I'm digging this. I want to be all in for Jesus. One of the ways that God transforms you is he changes the way you think. He changes the way you process ideas. And so my question for you is, I guess, let's just start with this if you're a follower of Jesus. My question for you is, have you done this? Have you let God change the way you think? Maybe you became a Christian this year, our Logan campus. We've celebrated 51 baptisms just out of our Logan campus this year. Isn't that awesome? Praise God. So some of you maybe here at the campus you're watching online or this campus here today, maybe you're like, yeah, I've recently come to faith in Jesus. I've recently become a follower of Jesus. That's awesome. Have you let God change the way you think? Or did you just pray a sinner's prayer and then live like you used to live and listen to the same music you always listened to and follow the same influencers and read the same books? Or have you let God change the way you think? You know, that's so much a part of it is what you let in matters. I remember as a young person, I heard this statement, maybe you've heard it before, garbage in, garbage out, right? I remember hearing that as a young person. In my mind, here's how I thought about that. I thought of like this big machine, you know, and I thought, okay, this is just a picture I had in my mind whenever I heard that, that you would put garbage in. If you put garbage into this machine, then and it would just do its thing and start smoking and whirling and all that stuff, and then it would push out garbage. If you put only garbage in, then it would push garbage out. That's how I thought about that. And recently I've thought about this this phrase, and I wonder if it's better to think like this. It's not so much garbage in, garbage out. I think that's still true, but I think that this needs to be the machine. Because anymore, there are so many ideas that you don't even know if it's garbage or not. So many new, especially newcomers to the faith, they're like, that's great. How do I know if it's garbage? How do I know if it's garbage? Everything sounds good for the most part. I mean, you know, maybe the white supremacy stuff is like, okay, that's obviously not good. But there's so much other stuff that you're like, I don't even know how to think about that. So how about this? How about ideas in? The machine matters. Garbage out if it's the wrong machine. So how about instead you think about, I don't know if it's garbage or not, so what do I put it into? This is what you put it into. You filter it through God's word. This is why value number one as a church is we look to God and his word for all that we do. We look to God and his word. So what I want to do is I'm going to take ideas, and I'm going to challenge you to do this week, this year, for the rest of your life, if you're a follower of Jesus, to say, I'm going to have a fresh commitment to God's word, and I'm going to let this be the filter for me, so I'm going to put ideas in, whatever I'm listening to, whatever podcast I'm listening to right now, I want to put ideas in, and I want to evaluate those ideas from the truth of God's word. And then, if it's garbage, I'm going to not listen to it anymore. Some people listen to music that is garbage. Some people watch shows or listen to podcasts or follow these influencers, and it's garbage. And the reason you don't know is because you're not using this as the filter in your life. So we're going to be talking about that today. Today we're going to answer this question, what does it mean to think biblically? I don't know if you've ever heard that phrase before, to think biblically. This is what Tracy and I tried to help our kids to do as they were growing up in our home. We wanted to teach them how to think biblically. And we're going to answer this question as we look at the book of James. Three things we're going to give you, and then we'll be done. Number one, thinking biblically means looking to God first. Where do you look first when you're trying to get information? A lot of people would say they Google it, they go to YouTube, or nowadays we've got something even better. AI. You just pop it into AI and it just throws out information that seems to make so much sense. And all that is fine if you're trying to fix a toilet. Like, seriously, that's great because the Bible doesn't say anything about fixing toilets. So you don't even need to look to the Word of God when it comes to fixing a toilet, but just about everything else. This is where you should go first. Not second or third. This is where you go first. James 1, verse 5 says this. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. I love this. He will not rebuke you for asking. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he'll give it to you. Look to God first. Now you say, okay, well, how do I do that? I mean, that sounds great, but how do I actually do that? We talk about this in our Pursuit series. We talk about the trifecta for Christian living. Three things. If you've never heard this before, some of you have heard it, you know it, but I want to just say it again, and I'm going to give you some more specific details around this. The trifecta for Christian living, three things. God's Spirit, God's Word, and God's people. God's Spirit, God's Word, and God's people. If I'm trying to think biblically in the world, I need God's Spirit, God's Holy Spirit. The Bible says when you become a follower of Jesus, God by his Holy Spirit, God himself, God the Holy Spirit, moves in and begins to change you from the inside out. That's what the Bible teaches. And so how do you tap into that? Well, so much of that is prayer. Learning how to pray, learning how to go to God, learning how to listen to God. It's for those of you who are new to this, it's going to take a lifetime. I'm still learning how to listen to God. God's Spirit, number one. God's Word, number two. We look to God in his Word. That means that you should have a regular discipline of reading God's Word. Because if this is going to be the filter through which you put all these ideas you're going to be hearing in the world, you better not just come to church on Sunday and listen to a sermon for 30 minutes. That's not enough. You better have your own discipline of reading God's word. People say, where do I start? Well, start with the book of John. The reason John's a good place to start in the New Testament is because it's the fourth gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. So if you start with John, you can read all the way to the end of the New Testament and then do it again. And I always tell people, then do it again. And then do it again. And the more you do that, then the more you begin to think biblically. And then you can start reading the Old Testament too through the lens of the New Testament, which is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. So that's why I always encourage new believers to start with the New Testament. Not that the Old Testament's not valuable. It's very, very valuable. The Old Testament was all that was around when James wrote this letter. So anytime he talks about biblical wisdom, he's talking about the Old Testament. That's all they had. So the Old Testament is beautiful and valid. It's God's word 100%. But it's almost like the New Testament is the decoder ring for the Old Testament. So I always encourage, especially new believers, start with the New Testament. Really try to understand these basic principles. And then at some point, you'll be ready to read the Old Testament as well. And it'll all make so much sense. So God's spirit, God's word, and then number three, God's people. Learn to go to God's people for biblical wisdom. Now that means people in your own life. I remember when I was dating Tracy, I got her around all of my people. You know, all of my friends, my godly friends. And I said, I want to know if this is God's will, if she's God's will for my life. And you guys are a big part of that. So that's part of what I mean by that. But also, I just want to be kind of specific today since we're talking about podcasts and YouTube and influencers. I also think that part of God's understanding God's people in this context is who are the podcasters I should listen to? I get this question a lot of times. I don't know if I've ever shared this on a Sunday morning. So get your pens out or phones out and get ready to write some of these names down. Okay. Here are some reliable sources online that I go to really learn how to think biblically. And some of you maybe don't know some of these podcasts. Well, first of all, some of you don't know that we run a bunch of podcasts right here. We call it the Pursue God podcast or the Truth podcast that I run every week, new episodes. Tracy, my wife, does the family podcast for marriage and parenting. Pastor John Bellis up in Logan, he does our men's podcast. So Pursue God podcast is a great place to start if you haven't used it. A lot of you are already listening to those. But let me name a couple of others, okay? BibleThinker.org, one of my favorite. Mike Winger, he was a youth pastor, and he became a really popular podcaster. He's got a YouTube channel. His name's Mike Winger. Bible Thinker is the name of the podcast. BibleThinker.org is the name of his website. Super, super helpful. Really biblical. I don't know if I've ever seen anything on his channel that I'm like, that doesn't sound biblical. He really does a great job he calls it BibleThinker.org. He wants to teach his listeners how to think biblically. Really good. Mike Winger. Another one. Gavin Ortland. The guy, his name, Truth Unites. He's a little bit drier. He's a little bit headier. So if you feel like you're really smart, check out Gavin Ortland. Mike Winger is a little bit more like normal, for normal people like us, right? But some of you are smarter than the rest of us. So Gavin Ortland, Truth Unites, it's really good. Another one is a good friend of mine. His name's Alan Parr. He runs a channel called The Beat on YouTube. It's super popular. He's wonderful. Another one is the Wall Builders podcast. If you're trying to learn how to think about politics, Wall Builders, I think, does a really good job. A friend here, one of our overseers, turned me on to that one. Two more, a couple women online that I love to listen to. Allie Beth Stuckey, she does a podcast called Relatable. Great podcast, not just for women. She just does a really good job handling the Word of God. And then one more, Elisa Childers. She also has a podcast. Those are just a few examples. These are people that I listen to. I appreciate their perspective because their perspective is biblical. They're looking to God and His Word, and that's what we need to do. Now, that's not to say you can't listen to your own podcasts. I listen to plenty of secular podcasts as well, but I know how to put what they're saying through a biblical filter. In fact, a lot of the stuff on my podcast that I've been doing recently is reacting to some stuff from secular podcasts because I want to help people to think biblically about the stuff that they're listening to. So you can listen to other podcasts, but you better learn how to use discernment. That's what I think James is saying. Just a quick example. We at Tracy have a friend, couple friend, they're our age. She's like 51, 52. Just real quick. She 20 years ago, they had done IVF when it was just new, the IVF, because they couldn't get pregnant. Long story short, they end up getting pregnant. They had a bunch of embryos frozen for these last 20 years. didn't really even think much about it. She listens to the Ally Beth Stuckey podcast, where she does an episode of a while back about IVF and abortion. And Ally Beth basically said, these are embryos. These are embryos. These are lives. You can't just discard them. That's abortion. And my friend listened to that, and she's like, I disagree with that. She didn't like how that made her feel. And so she immediately rejected it, but the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, continued to convict her. And she went to God's Word, and she realized she was wrong, and this podcaster, this Christian podcaster, was right. And she and her husband sought more counsel with God's people, and what should we do about this, and truly humbled themselves, because they stopped listening to what the world was saying about something today. Something that wasn't even around 2,000 years ago. And they started putting it through a filter of God's word. And she just had a baby 3 weeks ago. She's 52. But she was still able to have babies. They prayed about it a year ago. They decided to go ahead through the process again. She got pregnant again. And she just had that baby. That's an extreme example of submitting to God's word and putting God's word, letting God's word be the filter for us. And maybe some of you are like, this was a new thing. I didn't even think about IVF like that. Then check it out. Start listening to that kind of stuff so that you can have a biblical worldview on that kind of stuff. Number two, thinking biblically means undivided loyalty to God's way. Not looking for the easy, comfortable answer, but a commitment to God's truth no matter what. Just like my friend. Like, I'm going to go into this and say, God, if your word is clear on this, then I'm going to submit to it. This is what being a Christian is all about. Being a Christian is about submitting to God, letting him be the Lord of your life, letting him be the boss, letting him be the authority. It's not saying, well, God, I'll let you have this part of my life, these areas of my life, but this area over here is off limits. You can't tell me what to do with fertility. You can't tell me what to do with my money. But you can tell me what to do with some of these other things. Like, can I drink coffee? Yes. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. I'll accept that. Can I wear jeans to church? Yes. Praise Jesus. That's great. I love it. I accept that. Some stuff we just accept. We're like, this is great. And then stuff that challenges us, we're like, whoa. James calls that divided loyalty. Verse 6, he says, when you ask him for wisdom, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Don't waver. For a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Don't have divided loyalty. And then verse 8, he clarifies what he's talking about. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything that they do. Verse 8, let's put that up. Verse 8. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world. He's talking about, I know people like this. He's talking about people who have, maybe you've heard this before, one foot in the world and one foot in the church. People who are just straddling that fence, their loyalty is divided between the world and God. They're like, this stuff I like, I'll take this. But this stuff, uh-uh. I'm going to hang on to this other stuff. And I know people like this. I'm not going to get into so many examples, but just one quick example. A young couple who didn't go to Alpine, but they had some connection to Alpine. They reached out to me and Tracy for marital counseling. And so we did that with them. And we found out pretty quickly in marital counseling, they both are followers of Jesus. They both love Jesus. They're both Christians. And they've been living together for the last 7 years, unmarried. We're like, well, hold on. That's not. God's word has some things to say about that. I mean, all of their friends do that. I get it. Trust me, I get it. All their friends do that. You watch shows and it's old-fashioned. It's old-fashioned to say that you shouldn't live together. You should save sex for marriage. That's a biblical value, but it's so old-fashioned today. Like, you're not going to find very many influencers that would ever say something like that, but it's what God's word says. And so we said that to this couple, And they were like, whoa. But we kind of convinced them, and it was starting to go in the right direction, but they just couldn't, they just were like, they couldn't, they were so committed to what they already knew in their lifestyle. And I don't mean to pick on, you know, here I'm already picking on some of these like high grade sins. There's low grade stuff too that God's word says very clear things to us about. Gossip, hatred, disobeying our parents. Those are some of the things from last week. This is what Paul said to Timothy about it, his understudy, 2 Timothy 4. He says, a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. This is such an interesting passage. Is this not describing today? Is this not describing algorithms today? Just let me read that again. A time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. This is truer today than ever before in history. If you want to believe something, anything, you can find someone who teaches that. And you can find it in less than a minute. Just Google it or ChatGPT it. And you will find me somebody who thinks that I should dress up like a baby. And you can find people. Great, I said it. Our phones are all, they all heard that. You're gonna be getting Facebook ads now for those channels. I'm so sorry. But it's gonna prove it, right? So see, this is the problem, is the algorithms are feeding us what our itching ears want to hear. And then it, guess what it does, is then it feeds more of that to us. And it feeds more of that to us. And pretty soon, that's the only way we can think. We're convinced that that's the truth because that's what everyone's telling us because we didn't put it through the filter. And so then Paul says in verse 4, they will reject the truth and chase after myths. And that is our world today. So thinking biblically means undivided loyalty to God's way. It's saying, God, whatever you say, I'm going to believe that. I'm not going to have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. I'm going all in for you. Number three, last one, thinking biblically means acting honorably. You knew it was going there. I mean, we started with this. We said it's how you think impacts the way you act. And James says it like this. He kind of says it the other way around, James 3, verse 13. If you're wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life. It's like, We'll know. We'll know if you're wise. We'll know if you're putting it through this filter or not. We'll know because faith works. Real faith is evidenced by the way you live in your life. And the language he uses here is honorable life. And I know some of you are like, what? But what is an honorable life? Because one guy says this and another guy says, what is an honorable life? How do I think honorably about abortion? What about women's rights? How do I think honorably about abortion? What's the God-honoring thing? Look to his word. His word's pretty clear. Check out some of all those podcasts that I just told you about. Listen to what they have to say about it because they're thinking about it through a biblical lens, not through a worldly lens. How do I think about homosexuality? Look to God's word. It'll tell you. Don't look to politics or don't look to the influencer. Just see what God's word has to say about it. How do I think about heterosexuality? Look to God's word. It has something to say about that too. There are truths in God's word that will offend every single one of our sensibilities. And if you haven't found those, you haven't read God's word yet. Because it shouldn't just offend the people that you're against. It'll offend you too. Because we all sin. We all act unhonorably. We all do things that God's word would say, hey, that's not honorable, stop. And so James says, if you're wise and understand God's ways, prove it. I love that. Prove it. And the way you prove it is by living an honorable life. Do good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. I love that he says it like that. Do good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. What does that mean? It means, God, I humbly submit to what your word says. I do not put my opinion above your opinion. Your opinion comes first. That's humility. It takes humility to submit ourselves to God and his word. And so then James finishes with this, verse 17, but the wisdom from above, he just gives a little description here. The wisdom from above, so God's wisdom, biblical wisdom versus worldly wisdom. Worldly wisdom isn't wisdom. It might sound like wisdom. You might be fooled into thinking it is because people have silver tongues and they're really good at articulating some of these ideas. And it's so easy to just be sitting there and listening to somebody say, man, that just rings true. That just sounds nice. That sounds honorable, but when you look at God's word, it's not. That's worldly wisdom. Godly wisdom, biblical wisdom, the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It's peace-loving. It's gentle at all times. And willing to yield to others. It's full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. The people I just promoted today, I hope that if you listen to some of their stuff, that you're like, wow, that's verse 17 applies to their tone. It doesn't have to be snarky, and you don't have to listen to, there are so many Christian influences out there who are just total jerks. And they might be saying truthful things, but they're total jerks. Don't listen to those guys. Because you can get truth without that kind of an edge. And I think that's what this passage is saying. This reads as like the fruit of the Spirit list from Paul. Paul wrote his Galatians 5 later on when he talks about the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all that stuff. James actually has the first fruit of the Spirit list. That's kind of how I see James 3:17. This is biblical wisdom. It's relationship building. It's loving and kind, but it's truthful. It's truthful. That's biblical wisdom. Let's be committed to that. And our lives will be blessed if we do. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you give us wisdom, your wisdom. God, I pray for the person here today who is really wrestling with some ideologies that have been fed to them by the world. I pray today, Lord God, by your Holy Spirit, that you would move them to hunger for your truth, even if it's hard to hear. God, they would hunger for your truth, and they would humbly submit to it. And God, we know that that will be for our good. It will be for your glory. And Lord, that you will transform us into new people by changing the way we think. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.